We thank you, Lord God, that we have come together again to remember on this Ash Wednesday your journey to the cross. We thank you, Lord God, for your sacrifice because you loved us so much. Remind us through these 40 days of Lent of your great love for your children. And now speak, Lord, for we're listening to hear a word from you. And take hold of me, the preacher, and put me behind the cross of Jesus Christ. And let the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, because you are our refuge and our strength. You are our Savior and our Lord. Amen. My sermon title today is Reassessing Where Our Treasures Are. Addressing the garbage dump in our heart, this article reads. Imagine you are out for a hike on a beautiful spring day and you come to a creek. But there's something wrong with this picture. You notice that someone has dumped trash into the stream, an ugly sight. Judging by some of the empty soda cans, the trash has been there a while. And there is an ugly film on top of the water. You can't just leave the scene as you found it, because it would bother your conscience. So you stoop down and begin gathering the trash. It actually takes several hours before you can begin to see a difference. It's amazing how much junk is there. You sit back, rest for a moment, and realize you will have to keep returning each day until the site is truly clean. But when you come back the next day, it's as if your work has been undone. In fact, there is more trash than before. Somehow the garbage bred overnight. You think about the unlikelihood of someone coming to this very spot to dump their garbage in the few hours while you were away. And you realize that something smells fishy, so to speak. So you begin to follow the creek upstream. Sure enough, you come to a garbage dump that has been there for years. It's emptying into the passing creek. Your cleaning job only opened up a gap for more stuff to settle. You could go and clean every day if you want your creek to be clean. That means going directly to the source and dealing with what's there. According to the Bible, your heart and my heart is a source from which our life flows. Unfortunately, we spend great amounts of time, money, and energy, even in the church, doing trash removal downstream. But real transformation begins when we travel upstream to the source of our heart. Our real battles take place in our heart. And so the writer reminds us that whatever we're doing that is not of God, that is not right, begins in the heart. By the time it becomes a dump, we already have thought it through. Joel, in chapter 2, verses 12 to 17, speaks to the children of Israel. These were folks who had been disobedient to God. God had relented, They had cried out to God. God relented, and then the cycle began again. And then God would send the plague, the locusts. When I think of what is happening in the world now, as we're all afraid and panicking about the coronavirus, it is a plague on the earth. It's a virus that can kill and destroy, and that has killed and destroyed. So the Lord sends his prophet Joel, and he sends him to the people to warn them to turn. Turn from their sinful way. The prophet says, "Yet even now, says the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, with weeping, and with mourning. Rend your hearts and not your clothing. Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and merciful." And that is the hope for us as we reassess our lives, that God is always gracious and merciful. Slow to anger, the prophet says, and abounding in steadfast love, and relents from punishing. That God relents from punishing God's people. Who knows whether he will not turn and relent and leave a blessing behind him? A grain offering and a drink offering for the Lord your God. Who knows if when we call out to God, God will not turn and listen to us? Many of us are calling out to God now. We're calling out to God because this virus is taking over the land. We're praying and we're weeping and crying out as the virus continues to move through Asia, and America is also in the path of this happening because of the global world. But Joel tells us in his text today that if we cry out to God, if we turn from our wicked ways, if we repent and seek God, that God will relent, that God will hear from heaven. Lament, oh, this is a lament in Joel over a great locust plague and a severe drought. If you read Joel 1 to 2, 17, that plague, that locust plague, it affected the agriculture, the farmers, the supply of agricultural offerings. It affected everything. Now, friends, as long as you're living in the U.S., you must have heard on the news that people were panicking because the Dow Jones fell 1,000 points. The plague affecting, and now it's up to, somebody says 2,000. Because it fell again. You see, sometimes we think the Bible is fiction. But things happen in the Bible that we see happening again and again. Because history repeats itself. But we know what to do, don't we, Christian believers? We know how to cry out to God. We know how to lament and ask God for God's grace and forgiveness. God grants his grace anyhow, but his unmerited favor. Joel called out for national repentance in the face of God's judgment. You know, if I were to go on TV and or at the opportunity and I said to folks, we should cry out to God so God will relent from his judgment, there are many would say I'm crazy. If I had gone out and told folks that in this month, in 2020, there'd be a plague covering the land and many would be running scared, you would hear that I am crazy. Or she's just one of those Bible crazy people. But sometimes these prophecies and these Bible crazy folks, guess what? know what they're talking about, don't they? And they also know that our God is merciful. Amen. And our God is loving. And our God is kind. And our God is gracious. And so the prophet, as he tells the people to relent, there was a promise of future blessings. That there would be banishment of the locusts and a restoration of the agricultural productivity as a divine response to national penance. We need a national penance in this country. We need to begin to ask God to forgive us. We have been a country that has been blessed, and many has taken it for granted. And sin has taken hold of humanity. Sin has become popular on the television and on social media and in our lives. And so the prophet tells them, as he predicts the future, he says the future prophetic gifts to all of God's people and the safety of God's people, God will relent if you seek God. I have been crying out to God. We who are on the phone line praying in the mornings, we are crying out to God. I am not ashamed to tell anyone that I cry out to God. And yes, I don't know anyone who has the coronavirus. Although, I went to have my nails done, I told Zamzam. And my people at my nail place are all Chinese. So I waited till my nail was too long for me to open anything to go. And as I walked into the place, I was kind of worried. And I said to the lady, is everybody okay? And she says, okay from what? I said, the coronavirus. And of course, I was kind of concerned. And so she said, do you want one of those little masks? I says, yes, I think I should put one on. Because we, in essence, we're running scared in our hearts, right? They tell us. But we could call out to God. And so the prophet Joel, as he tells the people to call out to God, he said that they should fast. Declare a fast. A fast is a sacrifice. Right? It is a sacrifice of that food or that meal or that thing that you love so much, and you want God to hear. You want God to know that you're willing to sacrifice something. Now, this idea of sacrificing food is such a waste of time now. I don't even encourage it anymore. People says, I'm not having chocolate. I'm not having carbohydrates. It's all a kind of part of diet. That has nothing to do with change in the heart. Right? Because if you're fasting your food and you're not reading the word, that meal that you give up, that time when you give up the meal, you should be reading the scriptures and praying to God. If you're just stopping to eat, you just want to drop a few pounds, and I know how to do that well. But I read something, I think it had been put out by the Pope, Pope Francis, and it says, do you want to fast this Lent? And he was declaring a different kind of fast. Because we know when fasting food has become cliche. Right? People just, I can't eat cookies, and maybe I'll eat it on Sunday, because Sunday, we're just waiting for the day we could eat at the moment. I know, I've been there, done that, right? I can't eat cookie all week, but I'm just waiting for Sunday morning. He says, here is the fast he's asking us to do, encouraging us. Fast from hurting words and say kind words. Fast from sadness and be filled with gratitude. Fast from anger and be filled with patience. Fast from pessimism and be filled with hope. Fast from worries and have trust in God. Fast from complaints and contemplate simplicity. Fast from pressures and be prayerful. Fast from bitterness and fill your hearts with joy. Fast from selfishness and be compassionate to others. Fast from grudges and be reconciled. Fast from words and be silent so you can listen and listen to God. A different kind of fast. Fast from meanness. Fast from pettiness. And show grace. As the fruit of the Spirit says. That we should show love and patience and kindness to each other. And so Jesus himself in the Gospel of Matthew reminds us. He says, and whenever you fast, as was read in Korean, I will read it again for you. He says, whenever you fast, do not look dismal like the hypocrites. For they disfigure their faces so as to show others that they are fasting. That means when we're fasting and we're telling the whole world we're fasting, it's all hypocritical. We go on the thing we call, what is it now, the Facebook and text, and we say, oh, I'm fasting and I can't eat, and everybody in America knows you're fasting. Truly I tell you, they have received their reward. But when you fast, put oil on your head and wash your face so that your fasting may be seen not by others but by your Father who is in secret. And your Father who sees in secret will reward you. When you're fasting, fast to God. Let him know that you mean what you're doing. See, now Jesus is telling us to reassess where our treasures are. A reassessment means the consideration or the assessment of something again in light of a new or different factors. And friends, we should reassess our lives. Last year was last Lent, and many things have happened between last Lent and this Lent in our lives. And this is a time of reassessment. We should use this 40 days to reassess our lives, to see where we have fallen short, and how we could do better, and how we could seek God's face. I know everybody here is probably perfect, but I'm one of these imperfect persons who will have to reassess. And then Jesus says, do not store up your treasures on earth, where moth and rust consume, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust consumes, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart is. Will be also. Where is your treasure tonight? Where is my treasure tonight? Right? Where our treasure is, that is where our heart is. And that's why the heart is the seed of all the emotion and the passion that we have. And so God, tonight, through the prophet and through the gospel, wants to give us another chance to turn from our wicked ways, to change our lives, to cry out to him and ask him to create in us a clean heart and to renew a right spirit within us. As we will read in Psalm 51, wash me with the hyssop so that I will be clean. Have you ever cried out to God and asked him to forgive you and to wash you and cleanse you and create in you a clean heart? And friends, he's a merciful God. He will relent and bless those who truthfully ask him. And so during this Lenten season, I am praying that you along with myself, that we together will seek God. That we will seek God as we have never seek God before. Not just for ourselves. Seek God for our families and our loved ones. Seek God for our church. That God will do a new thing in this place. Can you imagine if we were crying out to God? Crying out to Abba Father. Crying out to Elohim. crying out to Adonai, crying out to Jehovah God, how God will do a mighty thing in this church if we cry out to Him.
Amen.
Cry out to Him to bring forth the increase. Increase in spiritual growth. In whatever we need. And the finances will come. If we cry out before God. Cry out for our nation. A nation that sees, that is in trouble. There is such conflict and pain in this nation now. If we were to able to cry out to God, ask God to hear from heaven, and then cry out to God for the world, for what's happening in the world, we as a people would cry out to this God who created us. I am telling you tonight, God will hear and God will relent.
Amen.
Because God's word is true. It is unchanging. It is the same yesterday, today, and forevermore. I believe it to be so.
Amen.
So during this Lent, I pray that you will join me in crying out to God. I'm crying out to God for a nation because I have a grandchild. I'm crying out to God for a world because I have loved ones who I hope will live after I'm gone. Crying out to God. And I've got to have mercy upon us. Have mercy, God, and He will relent. Because He's a God who is gracious and loving, the prophet says. He will relent. And so I pray that this 40 days of Lent, beginning tonight through March 11, will be a different Lent. That you will reassess your lives. And that you will get on your knees. And you will ask God. God, if I have sinned against you in thought, word, or deed, provoking your wrath and indignation upon me, God, will you forgive me? I repent before you, God. I seek your face, God Almighty.
Yes, Lord.
Holy God, Creator God, God of the universe, have mercy on your people. Amen.
Amen. Amen.
As we cry out to God.